This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. You can watch him on Fox and Friends as well. Hey, Kevin.
Kevin.
Good morning. Good morning, Jonathan Paul Flame. How are you, sir?
I'm Hello. Doing all right. So, Kevin, I know you want to talk about the Oscars and give us your predictions, but before you do that, I believe there are a couple movies that the junkies are interested in, which you may have seen, including Red Sparrow.
Yeah, tell me about that one. I heard Jennifer Lawrence being interviewed this week, and I don't know, now I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and that Red Sparrow is the only new movie I'm reviewing this week, and then I'm going to do the Academy Award nominations. But yeah, Red Sparrow is a brutal film, a very, very brutal R-rated movie. And the idea behind it is she plays a prima ballerina who gets into a horrible accident, and she's essentially forced to become a Russian spy based upon her family. And while she's a Russian spy, she kind of befriends Joel Edgerton's character, who's a CIA officer. And they're kind of playing each other. We don't know what's happening. It's very deceiving. The whole movie's about deception. And it really does a great job of kind of turning the spy genre into a different, brutal, like, way of watching it. Now, when Jennifer Lawrence has to go to this, essentially, she has to go to this, like, crazy school where she learns how to use her body to seduce people to get secrets out of them. And I'm telling you right now, there are images in this film that I feel like are going to be living in my nightmares for a long time, just based on the graphic nature of some of the violence, some of the torture. Mm-hmm. There are some really heavy duty themes happening here in this movie. But she's fantastic. I mean, she plays, she does the Russian accent very, very well. She's speaking in English, but with a Russian accent. Edgerton is just incredible. I loved him in Warrior. He's just one of those actors who really kind of just changes the game.
He was in The Gift.
He's very, very good.
Wasn't he in The Gift?
He's in The Gift. He's in Zero Dark 30. He's got a good resume.
Dude. Gordo the Weirdo.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah. Kevin, are there like some hot sex scenes in this thing too for an R-rated movie?
I wouldn't call them hot. They're relatively disturbing.
That's hot.
I mean, she's in some scenes where, again, she's using her body, as I mentioned, in a seductress way to get information. But while she's at this school, I think I know what interview you're talking about, Eric. But it's graphic, and you're gonna see a lot of things in the movie when you watch it. It's R-rated for a reason. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, you're going to sit in the theater, you're going to be uncomfortable. But I mean, the scenes that I think you're asking about, Eric, I wouldn't call them hot. They're pretty messed up. Yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of messed up how they actually portray it. So
does she play a similar role? And I don't know if you watch The Americans, but does she play a similar role to what Kerry Russell plays in The Americans?
I don't watch The Americans. My wife does, and she didn't mention anything specific about it having any type of connection. I've heard people say that the movie reminded them of The Americans. Lawrence, again, was in D.C. a couple weeks ago. We did a whole interview with her at a Q&A. But I didn't watch The
was
Americans.
Was she cool?
That never really kind of came up. Yeah, she's awesome. I mean, here's the thing. Jennifer Lawrence is one of those people, in my opinion, she's better in longer form interviews. So when I had her, I hosted a Q&A with her in D.C., and I had 15 minutes with her and the director and Joel Edgerton. Uh-huh. By the way, Jason, Joel Edgerton directed The Gift as well.
Yes, he did.
She's great. When she gets really open and starts talking more and is a longer, when you have these 4-minute interviews, mm-hmm. When you're sitting down with the TV, it's very tough to kind of get more from her. Also, when I did her for a 4-minute TV interview, it was her, Edgerton, and Francis Lawrence all together for 4 minutes.
In person?
Stunning.
Very.
Absolutely. Give me your top five. All right, you've met them all now. It's your gig.
Yeah.
Give me your top five in-person hot actresses. Off the top
number
of your head.
Number one, no question, the most beautiful actress I've ever met is Kate Beckinsale. I mean, I've never seen anybody more beautiful in person in
my
life.
All right, number two?
As an actress, besides my wife.
Love her in Serendipity. It's sized.
Yeah, dude, Serendipity is such a great movie. I went to the restaurant in New York once. It's so good.
EB loves her in Underworld.
I do?
Yes. Yeah. It's like vampires.
Hey, Valdez, is she on Celeb Jihad yet? Kate Beckinsale?
I'm going to Google that one.
Might be.
All right, what else?
Rings
who else?
A bell.
Give me 2 through 5 off the top of your head.
Number two, Keira Knightley. I am actually shocked.
She's been in a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean movies, so probably not.
Oh, yeah, I don't really know her.
She led off with two brunettes.
Yeah, my number three is Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
Number four, I'd probably go Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh,
and
really?
Then number five, it's funny. I've never actually put this list together in my mind until now.
So off the top,
you want to give us your top five guys? Probably done that.
Hey, well, top five guys right now are the guys from Queer Eye. They're amazing. That show is so good. I don't know if you guys are watching that. I know
Drabby's hyping that
on this
up.
Too.
And Valdez, too.
I'm telling you guys, everyone needs to watch that show. You have no idea what you're missing if you're not watching Queer Eye.
I think I might want to take a ride with it this weekend.
Maybe I will.
Give it a sample.
Everyone's hyping it up.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, Drab watched it, and he hyped it up to me. And I gave it, like, one episode, and after one episode, I was hooked. I watched all 8 in 2 days. It was so silly.
Dude. I'm with you, man. The first episode of that show is still my favorite. The gentleman who has the lupus on his face. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. But Tom is... Oh, it's so good. Like, I mean, like, I'm telling you right now.
Was it good?
It's a silly show. It definitely...
Is it going to make you cry and stuff? I don't want to watch that.
Really.
I don't even know what that is, but that doesn't sound good.
No, it's a good show. I was just describing the character. That's not a defining aspect of the show. It's just the character. Remember, Drab, didn't he have, he has some type of skin disease? The first gentleman from the first episode.
Rick, he has lupus.
I can't remember his name. The show is amazing.
All right.
I like the Silence of the Lambs.
Hey, what about
you never gave us the fifth woman.
How about the girl from who's in the Lara Croft? What's her name?
Oh, Alicia Vikander.
Oh, my God.
She should be on your list.
She's got to be in there.
I will give her five. Because I just sat down with her this weekend. And so she's married to Michael Fassbender, who's been in a bunch of films like Inglourious Basterds. And her new role is Tomb Raider. She put on like 12 pounds of muscle. Unbelievable. Like, she is, if you haven't seen a film called Ex Machina, that was their great sci-fi film.
It's really good.
I always bring that film up.
Why does it have to say a film called Ex Machina?
Because he's a film nerd. He's a movie nerd.
Well, it's also, by the way, you know, speaking of the three actors being in one room, I told you I was interviewing Jennifer Lawrence and Francis Lawrence and Joel Edgerton in one room for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I had to sit in a room with Oprah, Reese Witherspoon, and Mindy Kaling, and I only had 4 minutes with those three actresses. I mean, I have no idea how they even think we're supposed to get anything good.
You know how felted you are in comparison to those three women?
Hey, dude. Real quick, did you give the rating for Red Sparrow? I missed it.
Yeah, I gave it a 4. It's 4. Worth seeing. Jason, I think that if you went for your $5 Tuesday because you're cheap, I think you should go to the,
should I see it?
Tuesday one. Right.
What do you think?
Yeah. Eric, if we're thinking of the same interview that we listened to together, it was like an hour long interview.
I was listening to Stern. I don't know. You can say his name.
It's fine.
Yeah, I was driving home from a doctor's appointment. Like, it was like, and then he re-aired it like in his afternoon area.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's a fascinating interview. But that particular interview, to me, that's who she is in real life. Like, you see her in all these like talk shows for 4 minutes, and it's not really, it's too confined. Like, Stern kind of opened her up and kind of showed you. That's the Jennifer Lawrence I've met and known for, you know, over the years. So
big time statement he's ever said.
Oh my God.
I don't know her.
That's the Jennifer Lawrence I've known for years.
That's the biggest big time statement ever.
What I meant by that is I've interviewed her 9 times.
Can you replay that, Valdez? That's the biggest big time statement Kevin's made in the 15 years of the show.
Pretty funny. Made me laugh.
When I get off the air, Eric, I got to call you tomorrow or today later on. I'll tell you a crazy story about Jennifer Lawrence. I can't say it on the air. It's too private.
Yeah, all right. I'm curious really now. Yeah. You can call
me. It's funny. but honestly, Red Sparrow, really good. Eric, I think you'll like it. Again, just so you guys know going in, it's very brutal.
He wants to do his Oscars.
We can handle it. We're Kevin.
All right, so is my film, Three Billboards, going to win Best Picture?
Yeah. That's an interesting thing, Jason. Right now, I'm doing a little bit of a wacky bit with my Best Picture prediction this year. Three Billboards is probably your safest bet, though. Here's why.
The Golden Globe. We have Gary coming up. Do you want to come back on at 9:40 to do your whole Oscar bit?
Let's do it. Let's totally do
it. Let's do that, because otherwise we're going to play you off and you're going to cry.
You're going to get bitter.
Oscar bit at 9:40.
I have a 9:40 Fox 5. Can we do 9:20?
Ask these boys.
Hold on, 9:20.
Well, they'll figure out a time that works for you.
We'll figure it out. We'll do nine.
I'll text Drab.
Exactly.
He has to talk about the Academy Awards. Remember,
I'm going to go call Jennifer Lawrence. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Remember, he named his dog Oscar.
Yes.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Very happy to be joined by Gary Williams on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. It's been a while since we've talked to the Hall of Fame Terps coach, and Jason brought him up yesterday because he did a podcast with Chris Knocke. What's happening, Gary?
Coach, how are you?
Good to listen to you guys. It's good to be on the show again.
Yeah, I miss you, man.
We haven't talked to you in years.
It's been a while.
Everything good? Everything good with you?
How quick you forget, you know? I mean, it's like...
We never forget, my friend.
Yeah,
never.
We never forget you.
Never. So, Jason was listening to the podcast yesterday. Let me kick off with that. I mean, everybody knows that one of your big beefs there, sort of, you know, throughout your tenure, but particularly in the last few years, just your complaints about sort of the underbelly of recruiting and all this shadiness that goes on. And if anybody follows college basketball, you're aware of this. Maybe it's new to some people. When you heard some of these allegations coming out, what was the first thing that sort of came to your mind?
Well, I mean, it's been there for a while. I think that's the thing. And as a coach, and I think this is all coaches, you want a level playing field. That's what you're going for. You go into a game, you know, you win or lose the game. As long as, you know, everything's the same for both teams, that's the way it goes. You know, you're either good enough or you're not good enough to win the game. And I always enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun coaching in those situations. And most situations are like that. But every once in a while you run into a situation and you're going against a player that you know, something was done with that player to, you know, outside the whatever the NCAA rules are at that moment, you know, that something happened with the player and, you know, all of a sudden he turns around and he beats you and, you know, you're not real happy about that after the game.
You know, with all these sort of allegations that have come out so far, the Miller thing is weird, and we can talk about that maybe in a few moments, but it seems like the schools can easily hide behind, well, I didn't know this agent or this runner. I mean, you know what I mean? I had nothing to do with this. Is there any plausible? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, you know better than I, but when you're running a program, you got 15 kids, a bunch of kids you're recruiting. I don't know how you could keep an eye out and make sure that nobody is getting their hands, you know, hooked.
I think that's true. I think there can be cases where a kid, by the, you know, they get identified so early now, maybe sophomore year, say, and somebody tries to gain influence. So the problem that has become big is a lot of this stuff happens outside of the school year, the high school academic year for the player. It's during the summer, and right, there's really no control there. In other words, the high school federations don't want to get involved with the summer basketball, the NCAA hasn't gotten involved to the extent that they have to. You know, there's a lot of things you could do, and it'll be interesting that this commission that was formed by Condoleezza Rice, and Grant Hill's on there, I know, and some athletic directors, and I'm sure there's a couple former coaches on there, to see if they can come up with a formula, because I think that's important. Now the other thing is, people, you know, that committee say, or whatever, we all have to be realistic, and there's five power conferences now. There's the Big East. There's you know, Cincinnati, Connecticut, teams like that around that, you know, all play at a very high level. Well, I think, like football has done, and they quietly did it, they kind of separated themselves from the rest of the NCAA, and you don't see all these problems. I mean, there's still problems with football and recruiting, but you don't see as many now, and or as public as basketball is getting. And I think something has to be done in that area where people realize that, you know, basketball is a little different at those power conference schools. And, you know, there has to be different rules than there are for the rest of the sports at that particular university.
Mm-hmm. Well, you in particular talked about the recruiting of Kevin Durant when he was at Montrose. And Kevin, you know, bounced around from a few different schools but ended up going to Montrose for his senior year. And you talked about how you wish you would have spoken up more, and you talked about how when you wanted to talk to Kevin Durant, you weren't given him permission because, I think you said this, that Texas had placed him at Montrose so his grades could improve.
Well, what can you talk about? I don't know if Texas placed him there or if he needed his grades to improve, but, you know, it was just, you know, we were recruiting Gravis Vasquez at the time, and mm-hmm. it was pretty well established that Durant was going to Notre Dame, and to Texas, and, right. and that was, you know, done. And so we turned our attention to Vasquez for sure, and it worked out well for us. But, you know, that's just an example. You know, that goes on all the time. I mean, that wasn't unusual, and there really isn't anything, you know, specific about that other than that he went there to improve himself academically. Obviously, basketball, he was great by then, and you know, he went to Texas. So, I mean, that's the way it goes, and you know, that didn't bother me as much as some things do, because there's other things that go on, and you know, getting back to it is a lot of it happens. It can happen from an agent, as we've seen. It can happen from just boosters, you know. Don't forget that. And you know, schools are clever. You know, they're not stupid. They go 3-4 people removed from the university, and that's why it's tough to really track it down. And you know, I don't know if there has to be more severe punishment, you know, a bigger threat that, you know, to your program or whatever. But you know, this isn't good for college basketball right now. We're going into the NCAA tournament in 2 weeks, and all we're talking about is, you know, what's going on in college basketball instead of the games. Right. And, you know, it's such a great game. You hate to see anything take away from that.
So when you say you should have spoken up or you should have done more, what did that mean exactly?
Well, you know, as you guys know, the coaches, you know, kind of like wink and nod, you know, at each other. I don't know if there's a fear of, you know, if you say something, I'm going to say something, that type of thing. And, you know, the coaches, you know, it's their game. You know, the NABC, National Association of Basketball Coaches, they talk about the coaches being guardians of the game. Well, if that's true and you really care about the game, then you want to play the right way. And, you know, there's some things in there that, you know, make that very difficult. The one-and-done rule has really hurt college basketball mm-hmm. since it's been in force. And, you know, just things like that are pretty easy to see, and yet it takes such a long time to get things changed. It's hard to believe.
So talk it through us, you know, with us there, Coach. So if you take away the one-and-done rule and you give kids the opportunity just to go in straight from high school, I think that's cool. That's fine. They should be given that opportunity. How does that help? Because some kids may still just go for 1 year and leave.
Oh yeah, they should have the right to do that. That's right. Not a problem. I mean, you'll have kids that didn't think they were that good, then they tear it up their first year. But at least if a kid makes a commitment to go to school, and he doesn't think he's good enough to play the NBA, then in the back of his mind, he's thinking about getting an education. Mm-hmm. Well, right now these one and done guys, you know, they announce before they even go that they're just there for the 5 months. Right. Whatever length the basketball season is, and that's it. They're gone, and it doesn't. You know, a lot of kids nowadays, like in that one and done area, they don't even visit the campus. They just look at the situation. Am I going to get a chance to play? Is that a coach that right. can get me to the pros? That type of thing. And you know, really, an academic major or what's the campus like? Those things don't even come into play in recruiting anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How many classes do they even have to take in the fall? Because some guys will get through the college basketball season like Ben Simmons, and then they bounce immediately. I mean, how many courses did they actually take during their stay there?
Well, you enroll just like any other student. I think it's still like 12 credits is a full-time mm-hmm. Academic load. And so you enroll for that. And most schools, you enroll for the second semester somewhere in that first semester. And then there's schools that, you know, check academic standing at the end of the first year. And there's a minimum you have to do that first semester, but it might be like six. You got to pass six credits or whatever to remain eligible to play and that type of thing. So really, it's you can't blame the players because, in my mind, you know, people say, well, he could have gone to Europe and played a year and made money, but, you know, you get the publicity here. I mean, if your team's in the NCAA tournament, that's a tremendous marketing for you if you are going into the pros that next year.
Talking to the great Gary Williams. All right, so let's move on to the Arizona deal. Sean Miller missed the game against Oregon last weekend. They lost the game. He didn't coach. The school asked him to sit it out while they did their own investigation. You know about the allegations from ESPN. They've claimed that they had a source that heard him on a wiretap arranging payment for DeAndre Ayton. Now, Sean Miller's back last night in the game against Stanford. He had a press conference. He said, I've never done this. I would never do it. I will never do it ever. He looked right in the eyes of all those media members into the camera and said, it's all BS.
And it's also being reported that it was misreported, right, that it was actually Bowen and not Ayton.
And Arizona did their own investigation, didn't find anything. So it's hard not to believe a coach. And I know people lie all the time, Gary, but it's hard not to believe Sean Miller when he looks you in the eye and says, I didn't do it. It's BS. I would never do it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. You know, that's what he said, and then I watched the press conference, and, you know, he was very emphatic about how he felt about that. And so what you have is ESPN's report, and then you have Sean Miller. Well, one of them is wrong. I don't know. No, nobody will know until the FBI releases the data that they have. And so, you know, obviously there's educated people at Arizona, and they met with Sean Miller, and the mm-hmm. Board of Trustees met, and you know, that was their decision. So it's very difficult to say that until you know the facts. You know, I mean, you know, you can speculate all you want, but there's when the facts come out, we'll know. But right now, ESPN's standing by their story, and Miller's standing by his story. So we'll see what happens.
All right, so let's talk about Maryland for a second here. Obviously, disappointing. Whatever, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, Mark's done well his last 4 or 5 years. I think going into the season, he'd averaged 26 wins, you know, over the previous 3 years. Just injuries, I think, really hurt them. Coach, are you still there? I feel like we lost him.
I feel like we did, too.
Because yeah. There's no response.
Coach, are you still there?
Definitely not
there
now.
Can you call
now.
Him back? I want to ask him. I'm going to ask him specifically about what he would say to Bruno Fernando and Justin Jackson, because this is the exact kind of situation that would make him nuts. That kids, yeah. You know, and I don't blame him either because they feel like this is their chance. But
I can't imagine either of those kids going pro.
He had guys, though, make bad moves during his tenure.
All the time.
Gilchrist.
But here's the other thing you got to think about kids, and he might be able to tell you this too, but some kids just hate school.
Yeah, that's true.
It's hard to tell a kid, come back to school, go through the workload.
But I don't think it's that
go
as much
the
as
tutoring.
I think it's the lure of the potential riches is what they're going for.
It is. But those kids coming out of high school were only thinking about that, too. They just knew that they had to, by rule, go to school for
a year. They didn't
have
any other real choice.
Right. So some kids just hate it.
Yep. I know. I hated school, too. But, you know, I went for years.
I know, but we didn't have the same opportunity that the other kids
but
did.
But believe me, I hated it. I get hating school.
I'm sure a lot of kids don't love it.
Yeah. I can't imagine many of them like
most kids don't.
So I would assume that's a given. So they all hate it.
Yeah. So if they hate it enough.
See there?
All right, let's get to them.
Coach, are you there? Lost you there for a sec. Coach?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we lost our power here. I'm on the cell now.
So. Oh, Jesus. You all right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, the wind's crazy.
Yeah, it's just going about 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's all.
That's all.
I got a couple big trees that I'm looking at right now. So.
Yeah, keep an eye on it.
Get in the basement, Coach.
So here's what I wanted to say. Yeah. So obviously, disappointing season for Maryland and Mark, but, you know, he'd won 26 games three previous years. You know, whatever. This is what happens. Had some injuries. Here's what I want to ask you specifically, though. So apparently, reportedly, Justin Jackson and Bruno Fernando are really, I mean, they're going to consider leaving. This is the exact kind of situation I know that would make you crazy. I mean, Fernando's been there for a minute. He's not ready. But if somebody projects you to go, these kids feel the need to go. Same thing with Justin Jackson. He didn't even play this year. If you were advising those two kids, what would you say?
Well, I look at each individual case. I mean, I had Joe Smith after his sophomore year. He was the first player taken in the draft. He had to go. You know,
right.
I mean, that was a great opportunity financially for Joe and his family. And I think that's the thing that people don't really know is –
mm-hmm.
what the background is for that particular player. And, you know, a lot of times they have no money. I mean, they just have no money, and it's an opportunity to make money. And it's very difficult to tell a kid. I mean, you know, I think we all grew up without a lot of money, and all of a sudden there's a great financial situation. Maybe it's out there for you. The thing you have to watch is that you leave and you're not ready to leave, and you don't make it. You drift around maybe a couple of years in Europe or the G League, and then you're done playing basketball.
It's over.
You don't have your education. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a tough thing, and I'm sure Mark will talk with each player and you know, try to advise him in the best way he can. And a lot of times, you know, you see it differently than the people around the player. The family sees it one way, and you see it another way. And, you know, often, you know, people can look at it as, well, the coach just wants that player to come back, you know, to make his team good again next year. Well, that's not true, usually. I mean, sure, you want him to come back because it'll be a better team if that player comes back. But at the same time, you know, you're looking at his best interest, too. In other words, if a guy plays for you, I always felt that, you know, the trust had to be there between the player and the coach to have the best possible team, the best possible outcome for the player. So if I tell a player something, I'm going to tell him what I think is best for him. And it might not always be what's best for my program. And I'm sure that across the country, guys in the same position that, you know, are going to look at things, but that doesn't mean they're going to go.
Garrick, you always give the example of Walt Williams and talk about how indebted you are to him for him staying. Other guys left. He stayed. And, you know, the guy's a legend still in College Park and had a great pro career. Can you think of another guy, though, that maybe was a little marginal or something where you convinced him to stay and it also worked out for him? Are there other guys?
Yeah, I thought Steve, after his junior year, we were in the Final Four. He really considered it because, you know, Baxter and Wilcox and Vaughn all made it to the pros. And, you know, Steve,
damn it.
His family thought that was good.
Damn.
All right, he's breaking up. Gary, thank you very much for joining us. The signal's kind of getting very choppy.
Talk
there.
To Gary for us, please.
Awesome to hear from Coach Williams.
The storm is no joke, man.
I know. Don't mess around.
When's that happen?
But he's pointing out Steve Blake. And Steve Blake had an amazing NBA career.
Did he last 14 years or something?
I had a buddy he used to play hoops with, and he was like, Steve Blake's going to be an NBA All-Star. Now, he never made it that far, and I was like, he'll be lucky to be in the league. He's in the league forever.
Made a ton of money.
Long career.
Yeah.
But Gary said it. I mean, his point was, it's tough to tell a kid, come back, go to school, which I know you hate, just because it'll make you a better player.
Yeah, but that's easy for the top picks for Joe Smith.
Yeah, yeah, I get
it. It's the marginal ones.
Yep. Right.
Those are the ones.
I know, but
they
can still go. And we had this argument about Trimble. They can still go make money somewhere.
Yeah. You can go make money somewhere, but in 3 or 4 years when you got nowhere else to go.
Yeah, maybe.
You can be looking for a sales job.
You'd be better to exhaust your options and then go do it. I just don't see the rush.
He was in the league 2003-16.
It doesn't mean it's going to change if they stay one more year and leave after
their
sophomore year.
It probably won't change, but at least you maximize your opportunity.
By the way, Nugget, I didn't know about Steve Blake. Do you know where he was born?
No. I would just...
He's straight out of Compton.
You're kidding.
Unless Wikipedia is lying.
Born in Compton, California?
Born February 26, 1980.
But where did he go to high school?
Miami. Florida.
Yeah, he was raised in Florida, but he was born in Compton.
So that's where he's from.
He's from Compton.
Well, that's what I told you, and when you were arguing about the Caps player, you thought he was from, I don't know, it was Burakovsky or whatever. And
that was different.
You battled me on that.
I did battle you. That's true.
That was during a game. Yeah, you have to stick to the rules.
Yeah, you have to stick to the parameters.
We've given away great prizes all week. We've had these tickets to go see the Caps Jets. That's coming up March 12th. And tickets to go see Imagine Dragons in concert. You can hear Radioactive.
Thunder.
You can hear all their sillies
thunder.
July
and the
2nd.
Lightning. And the thunder.
At Jiffy Lube Live.
The silly Imagine Dragons. They won't bring you on stage.
They should.
Backup
they
vocals.
Should. Yeah.
And we've got
I'd like to see it.
Two pair to give away right now. So let's punch up our first contestant.
I don't know if mine are that silly.
What's Valdez laughing at?
I'm thinking about taking your little singing, and I'm going to put it to the track.
I think you should do it.
No, it wasn't that.
Definitely do it.
It was like 2 seconds.
Work your magic, Valdez.
All right, let's punch up our first contestant. I believe it's Jim on line one.
Jimmy.
What we're going to do is we're going to give each contestant 10 seconds to figure it out.
10 seconds is an eternity.
And then we'll move on.
All right. That's plenty of time to Google.
Jim, you have to figure out the missing link.
Maybe
I'll lead it off. Calvin blank Scott.
Go, Valdez.
Got it.
Ridley.
Very good.
So, that was a quick one. You've won a pair of tickets to see Imagine Dragons live in concert July 2nd at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale now through Live Nation and the Jiffy Lube Live box office. But win your way in all week long with 106.7 The Fan.
Ridley Scott, of course, famous director. Calvin Ridley will be drafted probably in the first round. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver from Alabama.
Yes. Correcto. That was well done.
Correctamundo.
Right, let's punch up our next contestant. We have three more prizes to give away.
Let's go to Billy.
Germantown. Hey, guys.
Billy, what's up?
Bill.
All right. Missing link. Dwight blank University.
No idea.
Come on. Think about it.
You have about five more seconds.
How many guys named Dwight?
Howard.
There you go.
Oh, he got it in. 9.8 seconds.
Man,
you get a pair of tickets to see your Washington Capitals take on the Winnipeg Jets March 12th. At the Capital One Arena, tickets on sale now through the Capital One Arena box office, but you can win your way in with 106.7 The Fan.
Those just think about it.
He was courtesy of Monumental Sports.
He was going to give up.
He was.
He was just going to give up.
He just needed a little push, some prodding.
You helped him. By the way, I bet in my head, blind, once you said Dwight, I immediately went Howard.
Of course. I mean, I was like,
is he going to go with Cosell?
How many guys named Dwight?
How many Dwights are there? There really aren't a lot.
Dwight.
Tim Dwight.
Schrute is.
Well, yes, from The Office.
How about Dwight?
How about Reginald name? Dwight?
Yes.
Is Dwight his name Evans? Dwight Schrute? I'm sleeping
was
on
it Dwayne?
His name. Phil, it was Dwight.
What was the Office character's name?
I think his name's Dwight.
Dwight Schrute.
Right. He's definitely a beet farmer.
Yeah.
What about the.
Beets are gross.
Dwight Evans.
Dwight Evans, my man. Favorite baseball player ever.
Is it Dewey? Is that his nickname?
Dewey Evans.
Love him.
From Santa Monica, California.
Not that many Dwights.
Where? What was
Dwight Yoakam?
What was.
Is that a country artist?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, it's hard to do a missing link for that one.
Yeah.
I mean, the yoke.
What was
you know
the pole? Not the pole vaulter, but the, what do they call that? The
Dwight.
High jumper?
High jumper.
Okay.
What was his name? Dwight, wasn't it?
Stone?
Stone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
All right, let's punch up our next contestant. Two more prizes to give away. Actually, two for two on missing link, surprisingly.
Let's go to, is it Trent in Leesburg? Hey, Trent, what's up?
Good morning.
Hey, Trent. You know, I'm going to bump it up. I think this is a little bit more difficult.
Great.
You have 10 seconds to figure out the missing link. Aaron blank Ramsey.
Aaron blank Ramsey.
Aaron Gordon Ramsey?
Yeah.
The listeners are on point today.
Hey, we won away the prizes.
You've also won a pair of tickets to see Imagine Dragons live in concert with Jason on background vocals when they play Thunder.
And the Thunder.
Bingo. Thank
and
God.
The Lightning. And the Thunder.
He's definitely going to make a mashup with that. I mean, he's got a lot of material now.
Let's go to Chris in Sterling. He'll have one prize left.
That's
hey,
it.
Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Chris, missing link. Mike blank Peterson. Mike blank Peterson.
Got it.
Jordan?
No. Got a few more seconds. Quick.
Adrian.
No.
No Mike Adrian Peterson.
I'm in the tunnel there.
Mike blank Peterson.
Are we using it on someone else?
No. Oh. Give us the answer.
Think ESPN play-by-play guy.
ESPN play-by-play guy?
Well, that's not it.
It's not the one I have on my list.
But Mike Patrick Peterson?
It's not.
Oh, all right. What'd you
that's
have?
Actually a good one, though.
I have Mike Scott Peterson.
Ah.
Mike Scott for the Wizards. Scott Peterson, of course.
The sociopath.
Yes, correct.
Well done, Missing Link. All right, who's our next contestant as we play Missing Link here?
Go to Armando in Herndon. Hey, Armando.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Armando. Sean blank light.
Ooh. Peyton?
Oh, I've got it. But easy.
Sean blank light.
So simple.
That's like too easy.
I don't have it.
It's just too easy.
It's so easy.
You know when you know it, it light. Just makes the other person feel stupid.
What is it, EB?
Miller,
of course.
Sean Miller Lite.
Oh. Goes down so easy.
How'd you not get that, Rick? We've been talking about Sean Miller.
Because I was thinking of a person with the last name Light.
Yeah, because you don't.
I think I could drink a 12-ounce Miller Lite in about three swigs. Gone.
Right now?
No, not right now. But like, if
after
I have
his run,
just goes down so easy.
I'll just do one right now.
Why would I have one at 7:51 in the morning?
I have vodka in my locker.
Because I have a drinking problem.
It's fun. Yeah.
Who's the next contestant?
Do a shot of vodka cakes? I have some in the locker.
No.
I think it's like apple.
I don't.
Something.
Try not to do shots at 47 apple. Years of age. It's a policy that I've stuck with.
But you're no fun.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Brendan. How are you, buddy?
Apple. Doing great.
All right,
thank
Brendan.
You.
This should be a layup for you. Missing link.
Uh-oh.
Jennifer. Blank, Kansas.
Jennifer. Lawrence. Jennifer Lawrence.
There you go.
You're going to go see the Caps and the Jets.
I also got that in blind without his last one.
But look, it's too easy. We have four prizes. We want to give them away.
What has he won?
Caps Jets tickets.
Very nice.
Courtesy of Monumental Sports. He's a big winner.
How about Mike Blank Beverly?
Mike Patrick Beverly.
Too easy. The Beverly is too easy.
How about
yeah.
Jason Blank Rozier?
Bishop.
Terry.
Jason Terry Rozier.
Yeah, for the
nerds. This one's too easy. Paul Blank Springer.
Paul Jerry. Paul.
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 Springer. Paul. Springer.
Paul Jerry.
What's a spring? What's in front of a Springer?
Paul Gary Springer.
Isn't George Springer on the Astros?
Paul
Am I
George
his name?
Springer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a pretty good
I thought
one.
There was a baseball dog.
Paul
thought
that was good.
You cross pollinating sports.
Right,
I like
no,
it.
No, but I did that because you immediately go to Jerry Springer.
Yes, that's right. I was like, who's off. Paul Jerry?
You're in the Jerry.
I just don't know who Paul Jerry is.
Yeah, I've never
heard
of Paul
know that
Jerry.
Guy.
Can I join on AWOD for 30 seconds? I don't usually like to do it.
Sure.
I will put it on the clock.
Sure.
These guys all brought this up. See, the clock is going. I will stop. He has an opportunity to make $400 or $500 on the weekend. I'm not exactly sure
what. Well, that might be over.
Is it a one-off or every weekend?
A one-off. This weekend, he has an opportunity
what
to
does
make
he have to
as
do?
Much as $500.
Depends
I think
on what you
maybe
have to do.
Deal blackjack or something. Something really stupid.
Deal roulette.
Okay, right. And he's choosing not to do it because he has a buddy's 25th birthday party. That's it. I'm out.
Yeah.
How dumb is he? He's got no money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's just happy being broke.
Whereas
some guys are just happy being happy. It doesn't really mean anything to him. He's got his mommy.
It means more to you that he doesn't work for it than it does to him to work for it.
The things I get as I'm typing up this spot for Metropolitan
Moving and Storage. Must be talking about AWOD. I came in late to the conversation.
Yeah.
When's he going to have an opportunity to make $500?
Never.
I mean, when am I going to have an opportunity to go to a party filled with JMU sillies who are going to be drunk looking for love? I
got
to take advantage.
Every weekend.
You need the $500 more than you need to try
gonna
to strike
get no
out
love.
With sillies.
You're going to get Zippy Love, but if you do, she's going to look like, you know, I don't know, one of the donks on the Redskins offensive line, Ty Nisecki or something.
I should just pay you $500 out of my pocket to avoid hanging out with those sillies and potentially ruining their lives.
You have no game. You never pull any sillies. You always pull poop. Just get hammered.
Waste money. Where's the party? Is it local?
Yeah.
See, now we're way over 30.
Nah.
Well, you brought it
well,
up.
You did
I said 30 seconds.
Yeah, but okay, but it's not.
Nothing
it's
lasts.
Now I have to.
What last 30 seconds on the show? Nothing.
You have to, you know, expand
you're Jason,
on it now.
Jason, so a member at Bellhaven is having a charity casino night.
Yeah.
And he asked me to deal blackjack at it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say a specific amount, but I gave Adam the range.
Right.
And he also said that. If he knows anyone that could do a roulette, to ask them and let them know. And I asked Adam, and Adam turned it down.
What does it require?
For the amount of money
put
that
the ball.
By the way, all you got to do is put
I'd
the ball
consider
in the
doing
cylinder.
It real.
I'm straight up serious. If it was the amount that he said,
yes.
I would do it.
Drab T-shirt loves roulette. I don't know why he's not throwing his hat into the ring. He loves it.
Tell the wife, you got to watch kids. I have to deal roulette.
Hmm.
I know you don't deal roulette. Whatever. Spin the wheel.
Yeah, you just spin the wheel.
Spin the wheel.
We do it once a week here.
I turned down Kylie Jenner for $500. Right. I don't know what AWOD's doing.
Is that your number one or something? Kylie Jenner?
No, I mean,
maybe it's just that this is a wider take. Maybe millennials just don't care that much about money. Maybe that's part of it.
I don't know. Believe me, he doesn't represent
know.
Millennials. I mean, on some level,
I mean,
he does.
Yeah.
He represents the dumb millennials. Dumb
he's just millennials. Uniquely stupid.
Do you make that much money working here in a week?
In 1 week.
Yeah.
That's a week's worth of work.
Instead, he just has to...
3 hours.
He's not interested.
Listen, be at a party.
I get the sense.
Have you guys not seen JMU girls recently? I mean, they are the hottest of all the Virginia schools.
Is he
I got to take
a bit,
advantage of this opportunity.
Is he doing a bit? He's doing a bit, right? He's not that stupid.
Okay, done.
He's not going to...
Play the music again.
All right, Kelly Ripa apparently finally came to the defense of her co-host, Ryan Seacrest, on Thursday. Apparently, she took a dig at him on Wednesday. You know, he's in the middle of all these allegations. He, of course, and his attorney, they're like vehemently denying them. He says it's been a full investigation. They found no evidence, not a single shred of evidence that any of this stuff occurred. And so that's why E is sticking with him. She said publicly, she said, I just want you to know, she said this on her show, you're a privilege to work with and I adore you. She also said she's looking forward to seeing Seacrest on the Oscars red carpet. And speaking on behalf of all of us here, I know what an easy, professional, great person you are. And I feel very, very lucky to work with you each and every day. Now, the problem is there are insiders that are claiming that she's actually secretly pissed about this whole thing.
Radio
because
insider.
It puts her show in jeopardy. She knows she can't go through another like search for a co-host anytime soon. And that behind the scenes, she's secretly livid about all this. So who knows? She seems like she's crazy.
What if he walks around doing the interviews and he has a nick?
If a chub? That would be weird if that was
accused.
That were
I would say that would be the end.
Of having a Bradley and rubbing up against women.
Right. But that was like...
Are you going down that road again?
We're playing just the waste.
The main game's great, especially on a Friday.
You want to play the whole? Here's the thing: do you put how much stock do you put into something like that? And I would say on the range of allegations, that's lower, right? I mean, it's not rape.
It's assault.
Okay, I agree. Can't argue it. But didn't say anything for like 10, 15 years. So now you're just coming out with it after your attorney allegedly was asking for money.
But I can somewhat believe her rationale. Look, I haven't read enough about it, but I can somewhat believe the rationale where if you're making only a certain amount of money, yes, some people don't value money like that donk in that room.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're making only a certain amount of money and you have to support your kids, you're afraid that you could lose your job. Then all of a sudden you're SOL, so then you just
yeah,
don't
but she's been
anything.
Out of the job for years and years and years. Why didn't she say something?
Just the
later?
Me Too movement. Just yeah. Women just are feeling more safe.
Okay.
You know what doesn't give me a Bradley? Red carpets. It gives me the opposite
Jason
of a Bradley in my pants.
That's the only part
red.
Of the show.
I don't get size.
She gets rock.
I only want to see the awards and the weird speeches and seeing people get played off with the music.
Yep.
I don't care what they're wearing. I don't care who they're there with. I don't care about the red carpet.
All right, this is weird. This happened back in 2006.
Most people don't.
Yeah, okay, but O.J. recorded an interview. Remember, it was called O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession, If I Did It.
I do remember
I can't believe it's been 12 years since we talked about it. And apparently, they're going to re-air it. They scrapped it after bad press, the Golden Family.
Released.
They never released it. They're like, this is in poor taste. Come on. But
now they have the HD version.
But apparently they've pulled it out. They dusted it off. And OJ says something to the effect of everybody got it wrong. Forget everything you know about the night because I know the facts better than anyone. Simpson says in the teaser, this is one story the whole world got wrong.
That's just how white folks will do
and
it.
And apparently what doesn't make sense to me, according to the Hollywood Reporter, both of the victims' families have okayed the move by Fox. I don't know why. Maybe they'll profit somehow from it.
They have to be getting something,
they must be
right?
profiting somehow from it. It's still amazing. So they have this civil court judgment against him. Where he's supposed to give like basically all his money.
Right.
But his money is so protected. They can't touch his pension. He gets $25,000 a month from the NFL. His pension.
Wow, that's a sizable pension.
And he's got a $5 million Screen Actors Guild pension.
What?
That he has access to.
For being a Naked Gun?
And they can't touch that either.
They can't touch that either. That's why OJ can live like a frigging king.
Yeah, yeah. Is he living in Florida or is he in Vegas?
I think he's still in Vegas. I don't think they'll let him leave.
You see, he was sitting against the glass at a Golden Knights game.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
He had silly seats.
He was right up there.
I mean, OJ's doing his thing.
Banging on the board with his gloves.
I wonder how many people.
I hate that move, by the way. I hate it in any game where people just start banging on the glass. It tilts me every time I see it.
Meanwhile, you
everyone
boo.
Does it.
Meanwhile, you actually go, boo.
Very. First of all, I'm never at games. Second of all, very selective booing. It's not like from start to finish of the game. It's a very rare occasion. It's way different than the wackadoo bang on the glass.
I don't think it's hate way it. Different.
It's way different.
Drabby, can you explain this to me? So now, yeah. Apparently, you can watch UFC pay-per-view events on Amazon. Now, it's not like you can watch them for free. They say it'll cost you $64.99. Now, is that a discount versus what you're paying your cable provider? Why are they saying this allows for skipping some of the irritation of purchasing matches through your cable provider?
I think sometimes it's just a pain in the ass to do it through the cable provider.
And why is it easier with Amazon?
Well, it's just, I mean, it's right there. And you just go right to your computer. You can put it on your Fire Stick or whatever you have. And I think UFC pay-per-views are $70. So I don't think you're
getting a discount. So it's a little bit of a discount.
Well, I thought you said $69.99.
$64.99.
Oh, maybe
so they
it is,
do
yeah.
say it is reducing costs.
That might be the standard def cost.
Oh, you
they
why,
still do that
why
bit?
Why even offer? I can't believe that that's even an offer.
I don't know, but it's
point.
In the ballpark. They vary depending on the cards.
We talked about this the other day, but Mike Patrick, ESPN, kind of, I don't know, turns out they may have been the ones that really pulled the plug on this, where he was sort of forced to retire. He's 73 years old now. He's been on the show many, many times. And he did a radio interview recently where he said, you know, it was a decision they made that I agreed with. He said he's had a couple offers, but they sound too much like work. He said, if it's something I love, you know, I could do ACC basketball again, which I think, you know, but he doesn't think that opportunity is really going to arise for him. He would do that. Yeah. But it doesn't sound like he wants to just chase any hoop game broadcast.
Nor you know, should he.
Pete. Well,
he
not going to be like Pete.
He's
Pete
got plenty of money. He's got plenty of money.
Yeah, and he says, frankly, he says the travel now is awful.
Yeah.
And it gets worse every day. It'll continue to get worse. I'm so sick of airports. Can you imagine? Mike Patrick did his whole life. He's 73 years old.
Yeah.
I'm so sick of airports,
been doing it for 50 years.
Crowded planes, cancellations, you name it. It's made it very difficult, not the job, but just a very difficult existence to do your job.
Valdez, you know
what?
You may have
so
somebody
okay
who can spin the wheel
Drabby,
on Saturday
I'd
night.
I decide for Mike Patrick next week.
We'll go.
By the way,
because he hadn't done the show in years, but he would be a great guest.
He used to come on all the time.
He'd be a great guest.
Speaking of traveling, and I hate to bring him back into the conversation, I know that AWOD is grasping
oh my God,
at
you
going
can't
to
get
spring
off
training.
Of
I've
with off- us.
Yes. Is this a bad idea? I offered him a bed in my room if he is able to pay for
it's
the flight.
It's a terrible idea, but there's one that's there's fine. One person that would do it, it'd be you.
Well, I just feel bad.
I'd do it,
like,
too. I mean, that's fine.
I mean, he has no money. Is he really going to spend it on a silly hotel room?
I will not offer
at the
a bed.
Paris? Probably not.
Well, are they thinking about sending him down
Hilton,
there?
For people that aren't following.
Yeah. He's got to basically pay his own way, though.
And
Maury's going to pay for his plane
Maury
ticket.
Maury feels bad that he doesn't get to go, so he's going to buy him a plane ticket.
Right.
You're kidding.
That's what AWOT said.
This is why he doesn't care about money, because his parents keep bailing him out.
Yeah.
Just giving him a hand, you know, he gets bar mitzvah money still.
No,
he alluded to it.
I got Hanukkah gelt, all right? You guys act like I'm a spoiled kid. Come on.
Well, I mean, there's zero motivation. Your goal in life is to live with six dudes.
And host a radio show also.
Right, but what is, I mean, what is... Like,
but you'd probably very quickly skip your podcast to go to a 25-year-old birthday party.
No.
You know, one of the reasons why...
More like Hanukkah felt.
We were able to do what we did is because when we did our cable access show for free, right, and did it for a year, we pretty much did it every week. And JP was driving back from Philly, and Jason was doing whatever he was doing and trying to drive back from Philadelphia at that time, too, when he was doing stuff with the Eagles. And Cakes was like... Hicks skipped a few, but basically he was taking off shifts from his job.
I had to sell Power Rangers to the kids. He was married already.
We made it routine. You had to make it routine. You had to do it and treat it like a job. I hope you're treating yours like a job.
100%, but I think the reason it works so well for you guys is because you have such a close group, and you had each other helping each other out. I'm by myself, you know? I'm trying to do a show. Trying to entertain people, but I don't have Lurch, Jonan back and forth making it easy.
Well, of course, you don't have the natural content. You're not as talented.
No,
that's
the point
obvious.
But again, you're missing
the point.
The point
is
Eric
not
was
that.
Talking about
the point
work
is
ethic.
Making the routine of it. You treat it like a job. You do it every week. Don't start telling me that it sucks because you don't have anybody to play off of. That's your own fault.
No, I know. But you act like you haven't listened to the show. I've been doing it every single week for, you know, 162 weeks.
I don't think that's true at all. I think you just lied.
You lied. Made up number.
You went to your brother's bachelor party or graduation or something, and you skipped.
Just make it a priority.
Did you not skip that week?
I did skip 1 week.
Okay, but you just said you did every week.
I did great. I got great content from my trip to Richmond.
Will you admit that you just lied?
You did lie. You just lied. You said you did 62 straight weeks.
Yeah, I skipped it, but then I made up for it. I did a Wednesday
broadcast. Did you lie or not?
He did.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
Yeah. Yeah. If it's a lie.
I mean, what do you mean? It's a white lie then. You know, it's a little one.
Okay, Hopex.
I don't know who that is.
Of course. You ever read a newspaper?
No. No. Actually, no.
Clearly not.
I do the Sudoku. That's it.
What does he do?
Sudoku. Stupid word, number puzzle. Word puzzles.
Do they still have
number
that?
Puzzles.
They have that in the newspaper?
Yeah.
They don't do crossword.
It's near the comic section.
You don't do the crossword puzzles?
He probably does the jumble.
Those are out of your league, right?
Anything with numbers. Letters go over my head.
By the way, management works quick around here. I just got a message. AWOD is not going to spring training. He needs to be here doing his job.
Would have been great content. I mean, because Cakes is going to get locked outside the hotel room again.
Good for ratings.
No, he's not.
Please, I learned
my lesson.
That's
not that type of environment.
Do you have an ep kicker?
I don't know. We could do a Chip and Joanna story. Everyone's joning on their new restaurant.
Nah, we don't need
that. I don't even think that's true. I don't. There's another hot teacher thing, but you know we're kind of over that.
Depends on how hot she is.
Here's one though, and
is it a study?
I bet you Dravy is one of these four. I will bet you a lot. Have you seen this? I'll bet you a lot of money.
I'm aware of the story.
Almost one in four guys have watched male-on-male porn, according to a new survey. Straight men.
Wow.
Researchers at YouPorn found... Researchers at YouPorn. That's hilarious.
How do I get that job?
That is hilarious. I think you already got that job. Found that 24% of heterosexual men say they watch gay content.
YouTube is much better. All right, what about Eskimo Tube?
Not my thing.
Meanwhile,
some guys are intrigued.
Meanwhile, you seem to perk up over there.
No. You're just making me laugh.
If I had to bet the room,
I look guilty because I'm laughing.
If I had to bet the room, I would go, no. Yeah. Maybe.
No. I think Jason, let me tell you something. Jason's a maybe.
Only on accident.
Oh, yeah. You're a lot of glee talk.
I look so guilty because you
have a lot of glee talking.
Awfully right.
A lot of glee talking about skipping back in the day.
I look guilty because I'm laughing about it.
There's only one guy in the room who had a best friend who would say,
Lie detector. Lie detector. Lie detector. Lie detector. Just one question.
I said...
Not on accident. Not on accident.
I haven't done it on purpose. No.
Hey, call up our guy.
One question for Monday.
I'm not going to violate anything else.
No. I can't do it. I might fail.
No, I don't. Trace McSorley highlights don't count.
Hey, have you ever clicked on this one by accident?
Let me see.
Okay, no, this is not for the cameras. So get the freaking cameras away.
Let me see it.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
Clicked on this one by accident?
Let me see it.
Oh, that is hurting.
Yep, hold on.
It's a lot of writing down going on here.
Get the cameras away from Jason.
They're all off, don't worry.
Get the cameras away from him.
Everybody knows what that says anyways.
Did you see what I wrote?
No, but I bet my life on it.
Oh, my God.
Not by accident.
I freakazoid.
Knew it.
I freakazoid.
I knew it!
That is so
guilty! And Dravy too!
Let me in. Don't let me in.
Dravy too! Oh. Guilty!
Wow.
Sometime he looks good.
Done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.